Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. And here we go. In more coverage of the aftermath of Sandy. We'll talk in just a minute about how you can vote in New Jersey tomorrow in affected zones, as well as in New York, even today in New Jersey with some new systems being put into place. But again, what we seem to have now around the tri-state is a region getting back to normal in many places, gasoline lines, an incredible but temporary headache that should be better in a few more days, but also pockets of our region that are truly disaster areas. Housing, heat, and help. And help, that's our mantra today, the three H's. Housing, heat, and help needed all over, or I should say really in some locations. And it's about pockets, pockets of normalcy, pockets of extreme, extreme need. Parts of the Rockaways and Staten Island among the worst in terms of people needing basic comforts, as we heard a lot of you report on the phones in the last hour. People are being allowed onto Long Beach Island for the first time today, but only to get their stuff for 30 minutes and go. And let's start there this hour with David First from New Jersey Public Radio. Hi, David.
Yes, residents are returning to Long Beach Island very briefly today. They're allowed there until 3 p.m. today. The island, of course, was severely damaged. This is one of New Jersey's barrier islands. People have just been lining the highways to get there today. There was a five-mile backup on the Garden State Parkway this morning. It's down to about a leading to Route 72 East, which goes to Long Beach Island. It's still backed up about a mile and a half on the Garden State Parkway right now. But people are allowed to enter up until 12 o'clock noon. There's no access for homes in Holgate and North Beach. These areas are still deemed unsafe. And to gain entry to the island, residents have to show a reentry placard, a driver's license, or a proof of residence, such as a tax bill, or they will be turned away. One vehicle per residence will be allowed to enter the island. No children under 12, and no pets are permitted.
For people in other parts of the area who don't know Long Beach Island, this is not Long Beach on Long Island. This is a New Jersey barrier island. What is Long Beach Island? Where is it exactly?
This is south of Island Beach State Park. Okay, you've got one barrier island, and you get to the end of that around Island Beach State Park. Then there's the Barnegat Lighthouse. There's the inlet there. And then that's the beginning of Long Beach Island. A lot of people live there.
Pretty far south.
Year round. Yeah, but yeah, pretty far south. But you got a mix of people who come there in the summer from Philadelphia and from New York. Very popular destination. And it's a grab-and-go operation today. You can only get on the island up until noon. You have to be off by 3 p.m.
South of Toms River, south of Point Pleasant.
Absolutely, yes.
We also have New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon on the line with us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Brian. Hi, David.
And you're reporting on people trying to go the other way, right, Nancy?
Yeah, well, in northern Jersey, it's more a story of people trying to get back to work today, and the commute was really beyond the pale. I mean, we have people waiting in lines. I mean, they spent the weekend trying to get gas, waiting in lines. Now you have train lines that are down and people trying to get onto buses. There is a regularly scheduled express bus that runs from South Orange into Manhattan. That South Orange is on the Midtown Direct, and that line is knocked out of service and has been. So you had people from all along that line, from Millburn, Maplewood, South Orange, West Orange, coming to South Orange to try to get this express bus, and New Jersey Transit hadn't added extra buses. So, you know, it just could not handle the demand. So you had people, it was very cold out, and you had people waiting in long, long lines about 2 hours to get onto a bus and then make their way into New York and then turn around and do the same tonight from Port Authority.
Why weren't there enough buses? Are there just not enough buses? I mean, they're not necessarily geared up for this kind of emergency. And, of course, NJ Transit runs a whole bus system, too, which more or less is up and running, but they need the buses for the bus lines.
Right. I spoke with a spokeswoman with New Jersey Transit, and she said, you know, they are trying their best to get everything up and running. It's not an easy matter to add express buses. I asked, why wouldn't you add express buses at all the major train stops to just ferry people into the city? And she said, it's not so easy to just add lines that don't exist. What they did is they focused their attention on emergency park and ride service, where you would, all over the northern part of the state, you'd drive, if you had gas, to a parking lot and then be taken to one of the ferry spots along the Hoboken-Jersey City riverfront. So I think there were reports of very long lines at the ferries, very long lines to get onto those buses. But a lot of people, you know, they're used to getting onto a train. They're not going to get in a car. I don't know, for people it might be hard to understand the distance to get in your car in Maplewood. You're out of power. You're cold. You've been out of power all week. And drive to Wayne, New Jersey, to the Willowbrook Mall to do a park and ride.
Yeah, it's like
you
the
don't
wrong,
have gas.
It's the wrong way, too.
Yeah. And it's not easy to get to the Willowbrook Mall. One of my favorite Chinese restaurants happens to be there. But it's not easy to get there. It's people are really frustrated. It's civil today. This is, you know, I mean, I understand people had their houses and homes destroyed in many places in the state, but it's also really tough for people who've been out of power all week. It's very cold in their houses, and now they've decided they're trying to get back to work, and they're spending possibly 6 hours today getting to and from Manhattan.
That's so bad. And WNYC's Bob Henley also joins us. You know, it's maybe it's impolitic, but Bob, in a way, I marvel at how quickly a lot of the transit infrastructure has gotten back. 5 days after such a storm as we had, most of the New York City subways were up and running. So much of Long Island Railroad service is up and running, even along the South Shore Babylon Branch. We hear how much New Jersey Transit is, in addition to how much New Jersey Transit isn't. So I don't know. You know, I know it's very hard and it's very frustrating. I also marvel at how much is back so quickly.
I think that the line that Nancy's referring to is particularly vulnerable. It's the Morrison-Essex line, which terminates. It goes into – you have options. You can go into Hoboken or you can go into Penn Station. There are catenary wires that are above ground where, a couple of kids at an overpass, if they throw a shopping cart on there, they can slow it down and have everyone have a bad day. So it's very vulnerable to the trees that have come down. And then also, the tidal surge took out the electric, a lot of the New Jersey Transit signal and power generation is low-lying in that Kearny-Harrison area. So those are that's that 1-2 punch that they're dealing with.
Well, and the Kearny Junction in the Meadowlands is gone. The rail is gone. They have to rebuild the rail line there, and that's the critical juncture point between the branch that comes through Montclair and the branch that comes out, you know, through from Summit, Morristown, Maplewood, and Manhattan.
And so we've talked a little bit about Long Beach Island and the shore in general, a little bit about the commuters from northern New Jersey trying to get to Manhattan. And, Bob, you're looking at the potential for long-term power outages in some of the more rural parts of New Jersey, right?
Right, and that's the thing about this is the sustained tropical force winds were unprecedented. You get to 60-mile sustained winds. So we're roughly under a million households and accounts throughout New Jersey. Jersey Central Power and Light is reporting that the hardest hit, you look at like Middlesex County, that's at, you have Sayreville, that's a place we went with the governor on that helicopter tour, and then we walked actually that Old Bridge neighborhood where homes really moved off their foundations. Still, Somerset, 52%, Morris County, 40%, Union, 41%. And here's the thing. This may seem strange to some city listeners, but 10% of New Jersey's households are still on private well water. So that means that if their electric went out and they don't have a generator or they've run out of gas with their generator, they have a sanitation issue when you get into a week out. And if some people thought were savvy enough to set aside some water in their bathtub to continue to flush their toilet, but some people aren't even in touch with those systems. They don't know you can take the tank off and put water in the back and buy yourself another flush. So we're dealing with particularly the elderly. There are a lot of folks who the kids have moved away and they don't want to reach out for help. And so this is a really challenging time for first responders and these communities.
Also with us, WNYC's Richard Haig. Hi, Richard. What you got?
Brian, well, speaking of water and the safety of water, a lot of people here in New York City are also concerned about that. We did hear from some listeners, actually, how safe is it to drink the water? But during this storm surge, many of the city's wastewater treatment plants did become flooded, and this did allow raw sewage to actually go into some of the area waterways. 10 of the city's 14 wastewater treatment plants were damaged, and the majority of them were in that evacuation zone A. We spoke with the DEP this morning. Carter Strickland is the commissioner. He says that the city's drinking water was never compromised, but he says the primary health care risk now is wet basements.
Right now, the primary health risk is going to be letting basements stay wet. So pumping out basements will be, critical to folks.
And, of course, that's the danger of mold forming. Breezy Point, that area of Queens, has its own private wastewater treatment plant, and there has been an advisory there not to drink the water. All other parts of the city, according to the DEP, are safe. So the only place in New York City where you should not drink the water is on Breezy Point.
Bob Henley, Nancy Solomon, Richard Haig, David First. We'll continue in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.